up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, July 1st, 2019. And boy, howdy, do I love it when the Monday lines up with the first day of the month.
It's just so perfect. It rarely happens.
I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the pure one, at Tim Gettys.
Let Tim host.
A lot wrong with that intro. Now, you still have the title of Forbes 30 Under 30.
Yes.
But you are officially 30.
30.
Yesterday was your birthday. Happy birthday,
woo!
Tim.
You know that, man. Look at you. That's
it's true.
You decided to share.
I got blind.
I was going to say, the present you shared with the world, of course, was Kinda Funny Prom. Available right now, youtube.com/kindafunny. Great
and edit, great job. And my many late nights editing Kinda Funny Prom, I think I brought back my eye problem. I was driving to work today, and my eyes were just crying and tearing. Like, it's really bad.
Miller, I'm
God, let me see. Look at me. Ah, dude, why?
Yeah.
Is it contacts? Is that the thing?
No, it's not the contacts aren't the problem.
Oh, God. It's freaking me out.
I just need to keep using the eye. Glue.
Why'd you stop?
Because it ran out of my prescription.
You could refill it.
But I mean, well, I did. Now I am doing that currently.
I think you should take a break from the contacts.
I'm going to.
Yeah. Don't we have a Warby Parker sponsorship or something you can have to get better?
But he never sent him back because he's a dumb.
All right, we did it on the show.
Yeah.
You didn't like any of them?
They're coming. I have more coming.
Okay. Just worried about you.
Hey, well, no. Hey, I'm taking care of myself. I'm doing the best
I
can.
Your eyes are exploding. You seem sunburned.
I am very sunburned.
Your policy has always been to ignore the problem. Until
but this time I'm not doing that. I'm taking it head on. I've talked to two separate doctors about this.
No.
In their office or on the phone?
They're his friends.
One in the office.
Okay.
Which got my eye glue.
Yeah, sure.
Fixing the problem.
Sure. But that's a different situation. Now you're a new eye glue problem.
I mean, I think it's time we talk about a transplant.
So, yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe
you
we can get you the first.
Parts of
ice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do it all the time.
Can I get my brother's?
Ice cream scoop.
No, when do you get the LASIK?
I want to be number one.
Never.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, Kevin. I got a big head. And without the glasses.
Oh, my God. It's huge.
Without the glasses, it's very obvious I got a big old frying pan face. But with the glasses, no one can tell.
But here's the thing. You get the LASIK, okay?
Yeah.
And then you just wear the frames and piss
God.
Let me finish and piss off Nick.
Sure. That's what I want to be. I want to be 2019 version of Bernie Burns walking around here.
Oh, no. I was thinking for you.
Being a clown with these fake flake glasses.
Ghostbusters?
Huh? Yeah. No. Yeah. 2016 Ghostbusters.
That's what inspired that conversation.
Well, today we're going to talk about two stories about the PlayStation 5. Remedy buying back Alan Wake and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Maybe you're watching live and you hear the same intro twice, and then we talk about The Witcher and something else. What was the other thing we talked about? Jumanji.
Oh, good.
Because something went wrong and we need to test it, we fix it. No big deal. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Can you believe it? Sucker. RTX is this week. All of Kinda Funny is going to be there. You can come to our signing Friday. You can come see our panels on Saturday. Kinda Funny, we need your sub more than Funhouse is at 2 p.m. And Michael Jones and Greg Miller, let's see what happens, is at 5:30 p.m.
Let's see what happens.
There's a comedy show as well, the Kinda Funny comedy show, but that's sold out to my knowledge. So, yo, slept on that one. Sorry. Thanks to our Patreon producers for July, Colton Yoder, Blackjack, Mohammed, if you're listening, by the way, and you might have already chimed in, there was a subreddit thread about you wanting to know more about you.
Who are you?
To go chime in over there, feel free at the Kinda Funny subreddit. Today we're brought to you by Upstart and Experian, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Wow. Time for some news.
Oh, God.
Four items on the Roper Report.
Oh, Baker's dozen.
Like
I don't want me to do.
Like
I don't know what
like
you want me to do.
1975 Chevrolet trying to get out of the driveway.
I hit the go button and they just exhaust. You know what
I got him dead. His eyes are falling out of his head. He's sunburned. Kevin, you landed in SF at 1:30 in the morning.
I sure did. Jeez, but here Louise. I am, not like a goddamn
Barrett, how do you
sissy.
Feel? That's what I see.
Barrett, okay.
Did you see fucking Barrett on Twitter yesterday? Oh, my hangover remedy. And everybody's like, oh, being young. He's like, no, drink two glasses of water and take an Advil before you go to bed. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you're young.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Try that shit at 30. You know what'll happen? Your eyes fucking become red balls of fire.
That's true.
If I don't do it, I will get a terrible hangover.
There's no mic on there.
Well, I'm talking really loud.
Yeah, he was talking really loud.
Now the mic's on.
Number one, let's talk Sony's PlayStation 5 strategy. This is James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Light has been shed on Sony's strategy for its next generation console, with a firm focus on attracting the hardcore player. This in itself is not too unusual. Members of this demographic are usually early adopters for the new consoles. But the Wall Street Journal has shared some insight from two anonymous Sony officials into how much Sony is prioritizing this audience. In a recent company strategy briefing, Sony chief executive Ken Yoshida described the PlayStation 5, parentheses, or whatever it's eventually going to be called, as a niche product aimed at hardcore players. The emphasis for the machine is on 8K resolution, ultra-high definition graphics, as the platform holder believes visual quality to be key factors in players' purchasing decisions. The company is said to be concentrating on strengthening relationships with large publishers, as well as working on AAA exclusives from its internal studios. It is not targeting indie or smaller developers, as resources are limited. Case in point, Sony is not planning to showcase independent developers at this year's Tokyo Game Show, which it has done in previous years. One of the officials explained that Sony believes people will buy the next console for high-quality exclusives rather than smaller games already available on mobile. Executives at smaller game firms say they are snubbed, I think is what he means, by this strategy. However, one Sony official believes that they will still release games for PlayStation 5 even without the platform holder's support, because the popularity will mean it will be a key market they cannot ignore. The sources claim Sony is still concentrating on Microsoft's Xbox as its main competitor, while Google and its Stadia streaming device are mainly considered a potential threat to the mid to long term, dependent on how internet tech and infrastructures improve. Tim?
Yes.
Absolutely none of this is surprising.
None surprising at all. I do think there's a weird emphasis in the story on TGS and indie titles not being there.
Yeah.
And they're saying that they have in the past. Is that true?
I mean, I would believe Games Industry Up is if they're saying that TGS, a blind spot for us, is we don't go there often. But I definitely would think that Sony's probably doing similar to like how Judges Week, the independent game night is sponsored by PlayStation.
Got it.
I would assume it's something like that.
Yeah, because TGS, for as far as I understand, is way more the JRPGs and the anime games.
Sure, but I think there is an independent scene for both Western titles coming over and things that are happening in Japan. That PlayStation probably that does sense. PlayStation indie booth, whatever they want to call it, and put it there.
Yeah.
Even that removed, it doesn't surprise me, right? This is what we've talked about so much with the hubris of PlayStation and PlayStation 4, and where we are all like, oh my God, are we going to a PS2 to PS3 kind of situation, where PlayStation 4 launched on the exact same promise of this. We are the hardcore gamers machine. This machine is about games, 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 games. But when they said that, they also said in tandem, hey, here are all these indies. Here's all these things that are happening. Here's Adam Boys.
I think that we're in a different time, though. Like, I feel like indies as a concept were way more important in 2013 than they are today, in the sense of PlayStation needed to put a focus on them, where now they're there.
Yeah.
Like, people are now seeking out these indie titles because they've proven themselves that they're not just like the dark horses. It's like, no, indie games are some of the best games consistently year after year now, right? Yeah. And I think that, PlayStation's focus on their high-quality first-party titles, that makes a lot of sense. That's what's going to sell the consoles, and they said it at the end of this article, but when there's more systems in people's homes, the indie games are going
to
come there.
Well, that's the biggest thing about it in general, is that the race these days doesn't seem to be about, hey, can I get your game exclusively on my platform, indie developer? It's more, hey, can I get it as exclusively on Game Pass, or not even PlayStation Plus, now probably with Google, like that kind of thing seems to be the real foot race, that if I'm an indie developer, I'm making a game, I want to put it everywhere. And what we've talked about before with PlayStation 4, the fact that, hey, guess what? These machines are just PCs, meaning that it's easy to port your stuff over and do it.
Yeah,
now,
for sure.
Of course, there is a lackadaisical tortoise in the hair kind of thing there of, okay, cool, if you're saying that and also going to get this reputation out of the blocks with people you already have that, they just don't care about indies anymore, Microsoft could easily capitalize on that. Google, Steam, anybody else, can capitalize on that and be like, hey, PlayStation doesn't care about you, so come be a part of us and we'll give you X amount of budget and we'll do this kind of thing. It's the same way of like, that was an example that wasn't going to work at all. But I do think when you think of indies nowadays, right, I think of nindies, right? Because they actually do that. And I think of ID at Xbox and the fact that they were like, when we went to the Xbox event at E3 on the stage, right? It was, we can play Gears, you can play this. And then there was a giant section of indies that were there that you can go play.
I mean, I really think that Damon Baker leaving Nintendo, who really head up the Nindies side of things and now going to Microsoft, is very telling. I think that everything that we're seeing Microsoft kind of gobble up all these studios and investing money into different companies. I think that they are gearing up for this thing. And I think Game Pass is going to be a key part of that strategy.
Sure.
Where it's going to be worth it to help fund, or even if it is just like a timed exclusive on Game Pass or Games Pass or whatever it is, compared to PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. It's like, that's going to go a long way in enticing people to try out the Xbox service. Whether or not they even need an actual Xbox to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's not that they're like, don't get me wrong, it's not completely apples and oranges in terms of strategies going forward, but I do think that PlayStation is going to rely on the fact that God of War 2 and Spider-Man 2, and here are all these AAAs you're going to buy it for no matter what, let alone the third-party AAAs you can play here, whereas Xbox does need something in terms of, cool, yeah, Halo, and here's the other, you know, 13 games our 13 first parties are working on. On top of that, we want you to buy the Ultimate Xbox Game Pass slash Xbox Live Gold, right? And when you get that, you are going to get something like, you know, the Games Cast I spent this week, I spent ranting and raving about how much I love Moonlighter, right? Moonlighter is on Xbox Game Pass right now. You don't have to buy it on Switch, like is where I'm playing it, or PlayStation, where you could also do it. You can just go play it on Xbox Game Pass. Yeah. When I talked about Riverbond, this is something I didn't flub up, but I didn't mention explicitly on Games Cast 2 weeks ago. I was like, played Riverbond. It's really fun, you know, dungeon crawler, beating stuff up, we were playing co-op. It's available everywhere. We were playing on PlayStation 4. I think $25 is way too much for it, right? Somebody on the subreddit was like, hey, Greg didn't mention that it's free on Xbox Game Pass. Like, you have that already if you're paying the $10 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I do think these are the right moves for Sony, though, right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that this is a
PS3
situation.
I just, you know, as somebody who's covered PlayStation his entire career, I just hated seeing them move away. I loved the PlayStation that launched the PlayStation 4. And I know those people, and like most of those people aren't even there when you think of like Adam Boys or whatever, but like when Boys and Shoe exchanging the thing, Gio out there in a hockey jersey talking about Vita and Indies games, like this was all awesome. Like it was awesome to see PlayStation, hey, we are for the gamers, by the gamers, here are the gamers who are making your games, and even Cerny, here's the people that are making your shit happen. And then to see it become more and more insular and become just like now we watch the, you know, State of Play, it's just a disembodied voice. Like, I love a good personality that you can connect to. But
absolutely.
I'm an old man.
Although, I will say, like, I don't think that to rule out that for next gen. Like, I do feel like we hit a point last year at E3 that Sony kind of had to redefine what its strategy is for these big trade shows, because you can only show Death Stranding so many times.
Yeah.
You know, without it just, like, upsetting people. And, like, I think we've hit that saturation point. But then backing off for a while and then just dropping the trailer, then I don't think we're going to see something until a preview event before the game comes out, you know? And it's like, that's what they have to do, but you can only drip feed hot, big news. So,
sure.
Like, every so often, or else, you know, you're just kind of saying nothing.
The same thing over and over again. Yeah. You just get, you know, rung. Number two, more PlayStation 5 news. Is Sony going to start scooping up some studios for the PlayStation 5? Sal Romano at Gamatsu has this. Sony Interactive Entertainment President and CEO Jim Ryan told the Nihon Keizai Shimbun, in a new interview, that the company is considering the merger and acquisition of game development companies. According to Ryan, with companies such as Google entering the games industry, quote, content is becoming more important than ever before, end quote. Companies new to the games industry looking at the market with hopes is something we definitely welcome, Ryan said. He emphasized Sony Interactive Entertainment has 25 years of experience in the games industry and has big assets. Do you think they're going to start scooping other studios, first party
assets?
Big old asses.
Yeah, right? Isn't this like a...
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, but I imagine people are always looking, and I think that with Microsoft kind of literally gobbling up everyone, Sony must be like, who do we want? Is there anyone that we should jump on before Microsoft does?
The Nanobiologist writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, what's up, Greg and Tim? Jim Ryan has risen and spoken out on if Sony will acquire new studios, but this we already knew since the investor meeting back in May. So, you know what that means. Wild speculation time. What do you think will be acquired by Sony? Will it be Quantic Dream and ensuring the interactive storytelling they do becomes a Sony platform exclusive? Or will it be Insomniac after their huge hit Spider-Man and keeping the super talented studio it to themselves after they had a bittersweet taste of the Xbox ecosystem? Are there other studios that people may not see coming, like Sega or Psyonix? No way with Psyonix. Epic just wrote them a gigantic check. Xbox surprised many of us with their studio acquisitions the past couple of years with Obsidian and Double Fine. So it will be very interesting to see what Sony will do to match Xbox great gets and how the possibility newly acquired studios will do to keep up with the bar of PlayStation has set. I don't know. I understand that, yeah, the investor thing back was like, oh, yeah, we're always, you know, similar thing, always looking, maybe, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't think, if Sony's going to buy somebody, because I just don't buy it 100%. I think it'll be somebody super small. I think it'll be a small indie team that's doing something they think's interesting. Similar to, I know they didn't buy it, but a That Game Company thing, right? Yeah. Or a Giant Sparrow, who had these different kinds of exclusive deals, weren't full out bought. But that's something I could see more than them going, because, like, yeah, what third party makes sense anymore?
Think bigger, Greg.
Xbox? They're going to buy Xbox? You
can't beat them, join them, baby.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be big. Yeah, I don't know ridiculous. If that would happen.
But Sega would be crazy. You know, that is one that I feel is ripe for the taking at some point. You know, it's like they would definitely have the advantage there with the Persona 7, even though it is exclusive already for now.
Yeah.
I think that there are titles there that could make sense to be exclusive, but... There's just not that many third parties that are smaller than the Ubisofts of the world.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that are in that area that are,
I mean,
that
like,
are
I wouldn't
bigger
even,
than
Sega,
indies, but
Sega
smaller
Sega thinks
than,
too big, and I also think Sega just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I understand Sonic is a valuable IP. He's not, though. Like, what are we going to do with him? You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen
fast,
that PlayStation... Kirk. If Atlas would make sense in a way, except, yeah, most of their games are already exclusive to PlayStation, so what's the point?
Yeah.
Then it's like, what do we get out to? You get into, like, Gearbox? No, Gearbox doesn't need the money, and it's fine with their giant 2K deals and whatever the hell's happening over there.
Yeah.
I think Remedy would be an interesting call, but Remedy's about to come up in a next news story about the moves they're making on their own. You start getting into, yeah, I mean... Like,
so what about Insomniac, though?
Insomniac, like, never say never, obviously, but I think it's the fact that, like, I think Ted Price and company over there love being independent, and they love being able to make their own things, and I think, you know, you look at something like the... giant rigmarole they went through with Fuse or whatever for EA, right? Their game that had to be done and redone, their art style changed. And I think that was like one of those number one reasons of like, this is why we got to not work with people unless they're going to let us be us.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, we'd be foolish right now to sit here. And I think it's happened in interviews I've had with Ted where it come up of like, you know, that they've had conversations about being bought before and have stayed away from it. I don't think anything's changed there. And I also don't think, you know, he's talking about off the heels of Spider-Man, like, I'm not trying to insult Insomniac. I love Insomniac. Insomniac's super talented, right? Like, outside, like, that was their huge hit, right? And outside of that, it's Ratchet & Clank, another PlayStation exclusive. Like, it's
yeah,
like,
that is the problem.
Spider-Man 2 is not going to go multi-platform. That's not how I'm sure the deal PlayStation struck when that happened.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're already, it's the same thing as always, you know, why buy the cow when you're getting the sex for free? Like, it's right there. Like, yeah, they already have these great deals. They have all these friends with benefits over there giving them milk and having sex with them. They don't need to worry about jumping into bed and buying them. And it's the thing of, like, even with Xbox, like, going on and doing all these different things they're buying, like, okay, then that's awesome. That's great. Like, I can't wait to see what, you know, Double Fine's going to look like with them and that. But it's like,
it's a different game. I mean, I think the Games Pass thing really does change the landscape of what all that looks like. That is just trying to add value to the middle of video games that, you know, Sony's clearly focused on the top right now when it comes to stuff. I think that 4 years ago, it would have been a very real thing to be like Nintendo.
Well, that was the old. Podcast Beyond, we went back and forth all the time about this of like, who would be the next person PlayStation will buy, right? And they just went quiet for the longest time and didn't buy anybody. Like, the fact that PlayStation doesn't own Quantic Dream is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That Quantic Dream was working so closely. Now that's over, of course. You know, Quantic did this whole thing with the investment money they got that they're going multi platform and doing this different thing. It's already happening, obviously. You can pick up their games on PC and stuff. I mean, that with them gone, it's like, well, what is a Sony first party anymore? What is Shu looking for in Sony Worldwide Studios when he's looking for great people to join that team, great developers to join that team?
I have an answer, Greg. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
God, you just look so douchey with the glasses.
I know. I hate it.
I love it.
It's not going to happen, but I do think that it would make a lot of strategic sense and would really bolster their first party titles even more. Capcom.
Yeah, Capcom's an interesting one, but didn't Capcom had like the most successful whatever in, you know?
I mean, that's the thing is, yeah, they're killing it right now.
Yeah.
With just Monster Hunter World alone, they'd be killing it, but you add on Resident Evil as a franchise at this point, you know, with 7 and 2 being the successes that they were. It would be interesting. You know, I feel like them more than anyone else, because like Sega, you're right. It's like, okay, Sonic is Sonic, but like Capcom has real IP. and, you know, real IP that can be brought back in substantial ways, and real IP that can just continue to keep going in ways that are going to be successful and make a lot of money for them and whoever owns them. But I also don't think that that's a necessary thing right now.
Back
It'd be
to,
cool, though.
Back to the Sony PlayStation 5 strategy, right? James Batchelor reporting what the Wall Street Journal was saying. The company is said to be concentrating on strengthening relationships with large publishers, as well as working with AAA exclusives for its internal studios. It's not targeting indie or smaller devs, as resources are limited. So, like, it puts you into this weird thing. You're already talking to AAA third parties, right? So they are talking to Ubisoft. They are talking to Capcom. They are talking to whatever. They're not looking to partner with indies to do anything. They're out to do... because they're the resources. I'm just trying to figure out, like, I feel like, and I granted, it's not knowing, I guess, what the portfolio and what the launch lineup for PlayStation 5 is going to be. If I'm trying to buy things up specifically for PlayStation 5, then I'm buying things up that I think are smaller studios that can flip their games quickly, right, and get them there quickly, because that's how this always works, is that when you're a game like Outlast, right, and you are on the launch of a console, guess what? You get a lot of sales because, hey, that no, not that much to play. DC Universe Online saw such a huge increase at PlayStation 4 launch because, hey, there's nothing to play, and here's this game to get into.
Well, it's the weird chicken and egg thing of, you know, it's you can't put too many super high-profile games at launch because there's not enough systems in the wild for people to be playing them, for those games to sell the millions that they would have sold years later into the life cycle, right?
Yeah.
And that does boost and help the smaller titles, but you still need that one marquee title. You don't need it, but, like, we've seen that that strategy still does work with Breath of the Wild recently, right? And we know that Halo Infinite's coming with Xbox next year, so PlayStation's gonna need something, or do they? I don't know. Like, I feel like that's where
this gets
interesting.
Well, you figure PlayStation 5's gotta be... I mean, what? I don't know. Yeah, how you want...
Because if it's also launching in fall, which we imagine it
is,
right?
Yeah, yeah. If so Xbox is going, they're going.
You got to imagine that Xbox Next and the PlayStation 5 are going to launch within a month of each other. I'd be willing to bet October, November, they're both going to be released, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there. What would you say?
For what, their release dates?
Yeah.
I would think both early. Well, it'll be like it was last time around, right? Where it was like PlayStation 1 week, Xbox the next. So probably end of October, beginning of November.
Yeah, I would imagine first week of November is what is going to be most likely for both of them.
Okay,
somewhere in there. If Xbox is launching with its focus on power, with its focus on all the stuff that they've been talking about, and Halo Infinite, and PlayStation 5 launches, I feel like it needs. We're in a different time where it's not going to be like, oh, the third parties of the fall holiday season are going to kind of carry this. If you're competing with Halo, right?
Yeah.
Horizon 2?
Hopefully.
You know, like, I don't know. What is that title, though?
And that's the problem is it just, yeah, I don't, like, you figure, I don't want it to be a repackage of Death Stranding. I don't want it to be a repackage of Last of Us Part 2. So then what, is it Ghost of Tsushima? Is that a cross-gen launch, or is it just a PlayStation 5 thing?
I still think that all the big PS4 games from here on out
are
going to be, like, Xbox One X style patch updates for the PS5.
Yeah, I agree with that too, sure. Yeah, Horizon 2 would be huge, but again, like, is that enough time? And then, like, the problem with that game is you don't want to rush Guerrilla.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't want it to be that, hey, you are the launch game, which means you cannot delay. Nothing can go wrong. You cannot sit there and, like, you get... launch games are great, obviously, but, like, lots of times, in more recent history, I would say, and you're free in kindoffunny.com/aswrongasyelledatme, more recent times, launch games for console games aren't that amazing, right? Mm-hmm. They're great at the time. They're beautiful. They do this, but it's the same thing as always. Like, oh, man, we put the gimmicky touchpad and light bar in there, so there's a whole bunch of crap people are trying to play with that crap. We don't want that. Or they're like Rise, right, where it's like, oh, there's something cool here, but it's not enough for an entire game.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see Horizon get that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Horizon become that. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it just PlayStation is in a weird point, like, we're going in circles here, but like, I feel like it's in multiple conversations here.
Yeah.
Like a couple years ago at E3, Sony kind of had to reinvent the strategy because they were running out of titles, but they're only running out of titles because you'd be hoping that they're prepping titles for PS5, which maybe for the first time ever, we do get a smooth transition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, we don't get a big break like we saw with the PS4, where for years we didn't get a steady release of quality releases. Right, like we got Bloodstained, we got Order 1886 first, and like then it started
Bloodborne.
Like, Bloodborne, and started picking up steam from there, right?
Yeah.
And then the last couple of years has been like, bah, 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 bah. And I feel like they're going to continue that level right out the gate.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And that's the thing is, like, I just don't know. Like, I'm thinking the one I jump to in terms of, in the, I'm going to say it, but it doesn't make sense. Phoenix Labs. People who made Dauntless. Mm. What if Dauntless was a PlayStation 5 only? But it's like, that's an Xbox move, with all due respect to Xbox. Yeah, like, totally. That's how Xbox would do it, where they buy that, they still support it everywhere, but it's here, and this is the best experience. And it's the same thing of dropping into, like, okay, what about Yacht Club Games? Like, they've made money. They've made, this is me not knowing their financials, but Shovel Knight is a fucking phenomenon. They're not going to be in the mood to sell, let alone, I don't think PlayStation cares about getting Shovel Knight 2 to be exclusive to them.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a weird thing of, like, what...
I just think there are very few people they could get that are putting out the quality of titles that they'd want from first party. And I think that Capcom is one of the better answers there of, like, level games that could have that.
And get their whole stable of developers working on their stuff.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but it's just, I don't know. It's, yeah, I don't, that's my thing. Since I don't think that, in the same breath of saying Capcom and saying Phoenix Labs, neither of those make sense to me in the current structure of what PlayStation is. Mm-hmm. And so I just can't see it happening.
Yeah.
Even like Ready at Dawn, that they never bought Ready at Dawn, and now Ready at Dawn's doing so much awesome Oculus VR stuff. Like, it's a different time in games, and I don't even know if scooping up stuff when you're PlayStation. And I understand we're now talking about, like, well, that's this generation. What's next generation? I don't think next generation, it comes down to having more first party studios. I think it's, if anything, having them make the exclusives they're making right now. Yeah, Xbox needs to make their stable make sense.
I think that a key thing's gonna end up being more first party games, and you need more studios to make more games, because if the pattern I just talked about continues, and it's like they start the PS5 generation with back to back every couple months, like let's say every 3 months, 4 months, get a new title, then what's going to happen at the end of the cycle?
Yeah.
Are we going to see the flip there? Because that's bad. They need to keep that going, right?
But it's also, they're finding so much success with not owning studios. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Make a Bloodborne 2, make a Spider-Man 2, find more relationships like that. Obviously, I think by the way it's all played out, Disney isn't interested in exclusives on Star Wars games. But why not? If that was something we could do, get a Star Wars game exclusively. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get a Knights of the Old Republic 3 or whatever, just exclusive to PlayStation.
Yeah.
That kind of shit to motivate hardcore gamers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's... is that even a thing that's going to happen? Is that worth it? I think I would be more interested in the third-party exclusives they could make happen. And relationships they could build, which, granted, I know Insomniac would argue that Spider-Man is first party, but you understand what I mean. There's got to be more there, and I feel like that's more of the juice of what's been successful this generation and what you need to have successful next generation. Buying a studio now and having them make a game in X amount of years, because that's the other thing, too, is like, you know, I saw somebody in your wrong shot, I think it was Kebabs, be like, well, remember, Insomniac's got these VR things, so that would negate that deal. I'm like, well, no, Double Fine just got bought by Microsoft, is still publishing everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, for the games they've promised that they're going everywhere with, like, you need to buy somebody right now that's making something that can only go somewhere else. I don't know.
I mean, Final Fantasy VII Remake is in a weird place right now because they're only talking about the PlayStation 4 version.
Yeah.
And the phrasing they use is first on PlayStation, and like they're not really talking about other things. But as far as I understand, we don't know that it's Xbox. Like, that could just be PC. Someone in your round, let me know if that's not true. But I don't think they've ever shown the Xbox logo or talked about Xbox when it comes to 7 Remake. And it's like, if a game of that caliber from Square, from a third party, can be quote-unquote exclusive. Like, that's insane. Imagine Final Fantasy 16 if Sony were to be like, yeah, it's exclusive.
You just said something interesting there.
Thank you.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't think Square Enix likes having Western studios.
Oh,
they don't seem to know what they're doing with them. They don't seem to promote their games well. They don't seem to do any of this shit. That would be interesting. If Square Enix was like, listen, we do great with the RPG stuff, but your Tomb Raiders, your Deus Exes, maybe Avengers, who knows? And that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
That's where it gets really tricky. We don't want those. Like, if PlayStation was to buy Crystal Dynamics, that would be fucking phenomenal.
Yes.
If they were to buy Eidos,
uh-huh.
Fucking crazy.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I guess they don't need to buy Square.
Yeah,
it could
exactly.
Just be,
let's go in there and get it. You figure it. Now, granted, I know IO just got out, but IO Interactive with Hitman, that would be very interesting, right? Mm. And that would make sense too if suddenly Hitman went exclusive and that was that thing. Because again, we're talking about games that I think get lost in the third party shuffle: Tomb Raider, Deus Ex. I would even say Just Cause, which is Avalanche, obviously. And Hitman, if those suddenly became PlayStation exclusives and it was, all right, cool, you have 3 years and basically unlimited resources to make this for one fucking platform.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would be. Now, granted, Tomb Raider gets weird in terms of licensing, but if it was that suddenly they had Tomb Raider and it's they Uncharted is dead, but we're giving you Lara Croft now exclusively. That could be interesting.
Lovely.
Yeah, we'll see though. But again, what gets weird with it, of course, and why at least Crystal wouldn't happen, I would imagine, is Avengers. They're already talking about, you know, everything for the game's life or for the first year is free or whatever. Like, yeah, they clearly have a multi-year plan. There's a contract with Marvel. That's a little bit more tricky than, hey, I'm Tim Schafer, and yeah, we're going to publish Psychonauts 2, everything, but then afterwards, we'll probably be exclusive everywhere. Huh. Number three, speaking of ownership and everything like that, Remedy owns Alan Wake again. This is Christopher Dring over at GamesIndustry.biz. The publishing rights for survival horror game Alan Wake has reverted back to developer Remedy. The IP was previously owned by Microsoft. The news coincides with Remedy receiving a one-time royalty income for its previously released games of 2.5 million euros, right? Or is that pounds? I can't. 2.5 UK money. This money will not impact the firm's financial results and will be invested into developing new games. Alan Wake is a cult favorite Xbox 360 and later PC exclusive, which sold over 3 million copies. It wasn't quite enough to justify a full sequel, but it did result in two DLC add-ons and a standalone digital-only spin-off called American Nightmare. In total, the franchise has sold over 4.5 million games. Now, that was Christopher Drain, GamesIndustry.biz. When I was going through for more news, GameSpot had this addendum. Remedy says it could bring Alan Wake to different platforms. The company earlier announced it had acquired the publishing rights to the series, which until now has only come to PC and Xbox 360 from Microsoft. When asked by GameSpot what this meant for the future of the franchise, Remedy replied, quote, "The only thing we want to clarify now, that Remedy owns the publishing rights, is that we could bring Alan Wake to different platforms if we so choose. We have nothing to announce now," end quote.
There's a theme here going on with this day's topics. This is weird to me because you look at Xbox, and not to say that Alan Wake is like this tentpole franchise, but I think compared to a lot of Microsoft's lineup, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Right? We get the Halo, we got Forza, we got Gears, there's Alan Wake.
Sure. So what Xbox exclusives are you going back to? Yeah.
For them to let that go, like even if nothing's going to happen with it, I think that's kind of weird in a place right now where, okay, they have a bunch of studios, but what are they doing with them?
Yeah.
You know, to get rid of one of your few
IP that's IP, just you. Yeah.
It's weird.
And that's an interesting one because I do think it smacks of the Hitman stuff with Square and IO of, hey, this isn't our level of success, but we also don't want to sit on it forever. I'm sure Remedy was like, we'd like it back if we can get it back. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this. And I do think that putting it on PlayStation will do really well for them. If they drop Alan Wake, I haven't played Alan Wake. If they do an HD, whatever, Alan Wake, I haven't played Alan Wake since the 360 back at IGN. I barely remember anything other than the flashlight. I would totally be down to play a version of that to run around and see what that's about again. And I think coming off of Quantum Break, coming into Control, it is, I mean, Quantum Break had a bunch of Alan Wake references in it of like making comments and things to it because that's what people know them for. That's what people like them for. I think Control's going to be really interesting. I'm as a Remedy fan, obviously, and having friends at that studio, I'm in for Control because I like their weird games. I really liked Quantum Break. I really like what I've played of Control. But even me and Andy being super in on Control, I was like, I don't know if this is going to be a mainstream success. Like, there's super weird stuff in the demo of, like, you walk over to the janitor's closet or his office, and there's a poster of him on the door, and then you open it, he's standing the exact same pose. And it's, like, meant to be weird as fuck, and it's like, this is weird as fuck. Like, I don't know if this is a game that speaks to everybody, but in the same way, I don't think Judgment speaks to everybody. If it finds its audience, that's great. And I think they have their audience. And so even if a Control comes out and it's a cult hit and people are like, this is good and it really didn't get a shot, if they can then jump off of that in a couple years, maybe a year, and be like, hey, Alan Wake, it's a bundle and it's all the stuff on PlayStation, and here you go. Maybe that'd be great. Maybe
congrats to Remedy, though.
Yeah, great.
I'm sure they're stoked about this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, good folks. They're finally coming home. Stead John at points out that it was Euros. I should be able to tell because it's an E.
It
does look like an E. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just get there and I freak out.
I do not know the difference between these things.
Because I'm reading really quickly and I don't have time to think, Kev. I'm talking. Okay. I'm mid-sentence. Sorry. You know what I mean? Nanobiologist says Alan Wake may now also come to Switch and build hype for the possible sequel that was alluded to at the end of the DLC in the main story. Correct, of course. Obviously, it's not just a PlayStation thing, and Switch would be a brand new way to get that out to a whole bunch of different people. Number four, Pokemon has a response to the inability to transfer Pokemon to Sword and Shield. This is Sword and Shield producer Masuda. Thank you to all of our fans for caring so deeply about Pokemon. Recently, I shared the news that some Pokemon cannot be transferred to Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. I've read all your comments and appreciate your love and passion for Pokemon. Just like all of you, we are passionate about Pokemon, and each and every one of them is very important to us. After so many years of developing the Pokemon video games, this was a very difficult decision to meet for me. I'd like to make one thing clear. Even if a specific Pokemon is not available in Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, that does not mean it will not appear in future games. The world of Pokemon continues to evolve. The Galar region offers new Pokemon to encounter, trainers to battle, and adventures to embark on. We are pouring our hearts into these games, and we hope you will look forward to joining us on this new journey. Didn't say much there, Tim.
No, and this is the problem with where we are at as a society at this point, where it's just like the, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And it's all these people online complaining and demanding answers, demanding a response, and then they get this type of response,
right?
And then they're mad that the response didn't say anything. It's weird, though, because it does.
It's, did the initial response from him just talk about, like, it's, well, yeah, there's this game looks different, so we can't just import the old stuff.
Yes, but, like, now he is clearing up, like, they will be here eventually.
Okay.
Right? Like that
future games thing?
Yeah.
Even if a specific Pokemon is not available in Pokemon Sword or and Pokemon Shield, that does not mean it will not appear in future games.
Yes.
So that means it could show up in Sword and Shield still?
Or you saying, whatever, like, Sword and Shield and chainmail thing, I don't know, whatever the third game's gonna be or whatever.
Gotcha,
it's okay. Like, I don't know, their DLC plans, or I don't know how they're gonna do it all. I just think that this is an empty statement, but it's also, I don't know what people expect them to be like, you know what, we're gonna change it, we're going back on everything. And it's just, we saw it with Sonic the Hedgehog with the designs being changed and stuff.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, demanding change, at what point is that cool, and at what point is it just being really annoying and loud?
Yeah.
And just mob mentality stuff.
Sure.
And I think with this Pokemon thing, it is a two-way street of, it's a bunch of people that I think personally are way too angry about stuff that they don't need to be. And also the other side of it being like a very tone-deaf Pokemon company that make boneheaded decisions that make absolutely no sense for what their core players want. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, when those two things both exist, there's going to be a lot of issues.
Strife.
And that's when transparency that we always fight for becomes difficult, because where's the level of transparency? There has to be a line where it's like, all right, we're going to stop talking about stuff because we got to do this stuff.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I think that this is just a perfect example of a shitty situation where nothing can be done that's going to make everyone here happy. And the Pokemon company are going to keep doing what they are doing, for better or worse. And honestly, I'm on the side of it, of like, looking at this game, I'm like, cool, it's more Pokemon. I'm excited to play it, but it's not revolutionary. And like, at this point into the franchise's life, it should be.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fact that it's not is what makes this such a hot topic, where it's like, so you're telling me you're giving me the same thing, just a little different, but less? Like, that's what
sure,
it feels like.
Sure, sure, sure.
Whereas, like, we're giving you something completely new. So, yeah, it's not going to, you're not going to have all those other things.
Easier pill to swallow, right? If it's like, holy shit, this is revolutionary.
It's like, it's new and it's different, and there are 150 new ones, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's like a soft reboot. We're starting fresh. We're going forward. I think people would be excited about that. This is to saying, hey, all the people that have been excited for every release the last decade, that have worked really hard on the catching Pokedex. Them all and getting all that. It's like, this game's for you, but like, not really yet. Got to buy more too in the future. Please be excited.
Please
you know?
Be excited.
And it's just like, we're just in a different place where please be excited is not an acceptable answer to things.
For some people. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to see what I should be excited for next, but it's still so far away. Tim, if I want to know what came to the Mom and Grab shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today, Redneck Skeet Shooting on Switch.
God damn.
Raven's Guard Arena on PC. Fairy Tail Solitaire Red Riding Hood on PC and Mac. Hangman on PC. And then my favorite of the day, Boom Boom Bovine on PC and Mac.
Yeah, dude.
Boom Boom Bovine. Boom Boom Bovine. Iconic Real World Six Flag Rides and attractions are now coming to Atari's popular mobile game Roller Coaster Tycoon Touch with a free game update.
That's cool.
You love it. You love a good Six Flags ride.
I do love Six Flags rides.
Which one's your favorite? They got a Superman coaster, right?
Typhoon.
Typhoon Lagoon?
Typhoon.
That's DC, I guess.
Yeah.
Or no, Disney. The Padre is also...
That's the name of it.
Padre is now on PS4 and Xbox as well. New dates for you. Crash Team Racing
is getting
I'm going to read it as on July 3rd at 12 a.m. GMT. All Crash Team Racing Nitro-fueled players that purchase the game will get the first Grand Prix season called Nitro Tour. You see, it's shoved together. It's screwing me up. Pushed to their consoles for free, which gives fans more game to love, including a brand new track, Twilight Tour, to conquer. Yep. You still playing Crash Team Racing?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Still enjoying
Working
it?
On that 100%. I already beat the adventure mode. Game hard as fuck. And yeah? I love it. Okay. God, it's satisfying. What a fantastic title. I haven't been able to talk about it because I missed Gamescast last week. It's as good as it ever has been. Loading could be better. Could be a lot better. I'm going to tell you that right now.
You're playing on Switch?
I am playing on the Switch.
Okay.
So that definitely, I imagine, makes it even more unbearable. But yeah, Spyro's coming soon. And the Grand Prix Pack 3, I think it was. So that's exciting stuff. I love the amount of content in the game. It's kind of ridiculous that the DLC plan is as
robust
as it is and free. So very exciting stuff. Love the game. Highly recommend you guys play it.
Deals of the day for you. Xbox has announced games with gold inside is available for free July 1st through the 31st on Xbox One. Big Crown Showdown is available July 16th to August 15th on Xbox One. Castlevania Symphony of the Night is available July 1st to the 15th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And Meet the Robinsons is available July 16th through the 31st on Xbox One and Xbox 360. Tim?
Yeah.
It's time for reader mail.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is.
But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Up first is Upstart. As most of you have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out of debt is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. If you've listened to Kind of Funny and Upstart ads before, you know that I've struggled this myself, of course. You get into debt. When I got here, I was like, oh, I'm going to come here work for IGN. And then I made no money. And then I got divorced. And then I had to take out alone. And let me tell you, that sucked. But Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than a credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. They will make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in a few simple minutes, and it won't affect your credit score.
Greg, what's the best part?
Once the loan is approved, most people get their funds the very next business day, Tim. The next day!
Wow.
Exactly. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames.
Man.
Up next, Experian. You know, the better your credit score, the easier it is to get stuff you want or the less you have to pay. So the question is, why is it so hard to raise your score? Now it won't be, thanks to Experian. They've launched Experian Boost, a brand new way to instantly increase your credit scores for free. A higher credit score can help you establish and get access to credit and preferred rates for the things you want and need in life. Experian is on a mission to help boost America's credit score, which will help millions of people across the country building get better access to credit. People all across America have already raised their credit scores with Experian Boost, and you should too. For the first time ever, paying your utilities and cell phone can instantly improve your credit score. Experian Boost works by giving you credit for the bills you're already paying through your bank account, like water, gas, electric, cable, and more. It used to take months to see your credit score rise a point or two. With Boost, you can increase your credit scores instantly. Boost is free to use and only available from Experian. As I pointed out in this ad read before, as you may recall, I had a credit card. I thought I paid it off and walked away. Then I tried to get another credit card, and they were like, no, your credit's bad. And I was like, wait, what? And I got my report, and it turned out that I had screwed up my credit back in the day because they'd put some like finance charge on something I never knew about. It sat there, like $56, sat there for a bunch of things, dinged up my credit, took a long time to rebuild. This would have helped out a lot, Tim.
You needed that boost.
I need that Experian Boost. I can't believe it's taken this long for someone to do this. What are you waiting for? Experian Boost can potentially help raise and establish your access to credit. Boost your FICO score instantly for free. Boost is only available at Experian.com/KFGames. That's Experian.com/KFGames.
KF Games.
Sorry, KF Games. Boost. Tim?
Yes.
JBR has been writing in a lot for this question for
JBR,
you.
JBR.
But you keep not coming to the show. Mm-hmm. So here it is.
Now.
JBR wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, greetings, Greg and Tim. Tim, Now that Square Enix has put the Final Fantasy soundtracks on Spotify, what can we do in our power for Nintendo to put their soundtracks across dozens of games onto Spotify and other platforms? I'd love to listen to Paper Mario Thousand Year Door on Spotify while I drive. Is it possible that Nintendo makes this happen with our demand for it?
I will say that I have downloaded all of the Distant Worlds Final Fantasy albums, and I've been listening to them religiously on my drives to work, and it feels good. So shout out to them for doing this. I think that there is actually a good chance of Nintendo doing this at some point. I think that Square kind of showed the way to do it correctly, which is have everything well organized and the artwork right and the track list right and the producers, everything. It's just like it is buttoned up, and they did it as one release of here's everything, right? Nintendo has traditionally been pretty good about putting out soundtrack CDs, really? At least in Japan.
Okay.
That is where this gets a little bit interesting. I don't know about the licensing and all that stuff. And they don't do it for every game, but there's a fair amount of soundtracks out there, like in CD album form, from Nintendo for the different games. So the content is out there. It's just a matter of them seeing the demand, getting it
sure.
onto the services. And with how Nintendo's been recently, I think that they really care about their IP in a way that's broader than just gaming. And I think with next year, with the Mario movie coming out and then working on the theme parks and stuff, like I think that they understand that there's a value to this type of stuff. And they're going to want to dip their toes into as many revenue streams as possible for these characters. And I think that Spotify is hard to ignore, you know?
So you're saying everybody should just tweet at Doug Bowser about it?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know who the right person would be. Like, sure. I don't actually have a great answer to the question of like who they need to talk to or what needs to be done.
Sure.
I think it just will happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it will.
I think within 2 years it'll happen.
Within 2 years, the Nintendo soundtracks will be on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll take that bet. I said it won't.
Yeah.
Everybody, write it down. July 1st, 2021. I need you to tell us what's happened and then how Kevin died. Gilly Brums writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hi, Greg and Tim. Happy Monday.
What's up?
With the recent release of Mario Maker 2, it made me think few games can pull off a map/level editor as the key selling point. Mario Maker, Little Big Planet, Mod Nation Racers, Dreams, if you count it. Why do you think that these games are so successful for that reason? Many games have additional modes to create user-generated content, some of which are deeply fleshed out. GTA, Halo Forge, etc. So why have the Nintendos and Media Molecules of the world done it? Would love some of your industry insight. Also, do either of you have a favorite map/level/ game editor mode? Game mode editor. I've always been into Forge more than in Halo. Hope you had a great birthday weekend, Tim."
Forge mode is, I think, the right answer. It's insane, the things that you can create in that are very high quality. I think that I wouldn't necessarily call those games major successes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like Mod Nation Racers?
No, that's he's reaching at.
Yeah.
I would say for the argument, Little Big Planet and Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it worked because it introduced a cute mascot that PlayStation was lacking at that point sure. in its life cycle. And it also was a quality game that was different than anything that we'd seen before.
Yeah.
And I think that it was a mix of art style and just a weird PlayStation at that time where like they put out weird games. Well,
the reason I think both Mario Maker and Little Big Planet are like acclaimed for their creation tools is the fact that they are marketed and built around their creation tools. Like that's the reason why that stands out more than GTA or Halo Forge, I think, is that Halo is marketed as this amazing shooter, awesome single player, play it co-op with your friends, then there's the multiplayer. Like Forge is in that, but it's not, if you're on a list like the three or four main bullet points on why you're excited for Halo, that's not one of them. And the same thing with GTA. Giant story, living world. You can follow people to their places of business. All this crazy shit happens. Then you can go online and do all this crazy shit. Blah blah blah. Like the fact that you can go in and make things there, also not like one of the main bullet points. Whereas with Mario Maker, right? Like that's the whole shtick of Mario Maker is like, yeah, there's these Nintendo levels, but then you're playing your friends' levels. You're seeing Dan Reicher and Patrick Klepek go at it again. You're seeing Andy Cortez clips on from Twitch of him screaming. Like you see people doing it, and that's the thing people are sharing the most. I've seen so much of, hey, here's my level, try it out, code creation stuff. And I haven't even seen the 100 Nintendo levels yet. I've only seen people screwing around with the other stuff. And yeah. The same thing with Little Big Planet, right? Of play, create, share was their whole thing of you're playing those levels to unlock different things to use in your levels. And then as Little Big Planet evolved to make your own games, to do your own things. You know, I don't count Dreams in there either yet because I think Dreams remains to be seen in terms of how that's going to do in terms of selling that to someone.
I think Mario Maker is unique in the sense that it is a very interesting nostalgia retro way to do a video game, you look at the history of Mario and it's like, what's the next 2D Mario going to be? Right?
Yeah.
Like, I still think that that's a big question of like, where in 2020, what does that look like for Nintendo to put out a brand new 2D Mario game? Last time we got one was 2013 with New Super Mario Bros. U. And with that art style in Mario Maker, it's like, I feel like they can't come back with a new one until there is a brand new art style with a new look and a new feel to it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that people are so used to understanding, we've had all the Mario games, the classics, right? Mario 1, Mario 3, Mario World. People
Mario are so 1, familiar. Mario 2. Oh,
so awful. But like, people know what those games are, what they feel like, what is possible in them. They've had enough new Super Mario Bros. Games in the last 15 years that we know what that looks like as well. So I feel like this kind of is the answer of what does a 2D Mario game look like now? And it's like, oh, it's whatever you can come up with, knowing the tools and what creative resources you have available to you. And that's why I think that we're seeing such awesome 2D levels, where it's like Nintendo kind of understood that they couldn't blow our minds with a 2D Mario game, but they could let everyone else do it, and them making their levels as well. It's like, I would argue that the story mode in this game is one of the better 2D Mario games I've ever played.
Yeah.
And it's like, but if it was just that, it would have been like, whatever.
Who cares?
You know? Yeah. It's like, it's just the maker aspect of it, I think, is the pitch to get people in, and then the quality content of the levels that are made is the meat of it.
Have you played more of it? I know you did a brief thing on the Gamescast, but we haven't heard from you in a while.
Yes, I there's 100 levels that Nintendo made. There are three that have just stumped me.
Really?
Yeah. And I haven't put too much time into them, but yeah, there's one with a, you got to get a Koopa shell to like go through the whole level with you to like solve puzzles.
Yeah.
And like, I'm in the last room and I don't get what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Okay. But you still recommend it?
Oh my God. Yes. Man, it's so good.
It's been that thing of like, oh man, I definitely don't want to create them. And I also don't want to be tortured. Like, I see Andy being tortured in his Twitch highlights, which are hilarious. But I want to play the 100 levels. But then it's just Moonlighter's too good. But then I'm like, you know what? I got the RTX flood. Maybe I'll knock out Moonlighter on the way. Then I'll go over there and play some Mario.
Excellent game. I can't wait for it to be out a little longer and to see, like, here's the levels you need to play. So I just download them all. I think I might do it before RTX.
Okay. Nathan Brandt writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Shovel Knight has been celebrating its fifth birthday last week with a major campaign expansion with a humongous card game mechanic as well as a multiplayer fighting mode on the way. It's got me wondering why Shovel Knight is never really talked about when, quote, best ongoing game awards are being discussed. I don't necessarily think that Shovel Knight should win over something like Destiny 2, but man, after three story expansions, a co-op expansion, and a fighting game expansion, the humble Kickstarter indie has really come a long way despite having already been damn near perfect at launch. So Nathan, when you bring up the best ongoing game awards, I think you're referencing the E3 stuff that we talked about last week, the critic awards when Andrea and I went through the Jeff Keighley, which we voted on, but the judges awards from E3 and stuff. There, I think the holdup would be, was Shovel Knight, this stuff, playable at E3? I don't know. I didn't see it. Nobody tried to book me an appointment for Shovel Knight stuff there. And then beyond that, expanding it beyond in just in general of why people aren't like, oh man, Shovel Knight's the best ongoing game and stuff. I think it's just the fact that Shovel Knight speaks to such a niche audience. And I think it's rare that they go outside of that audience to really bang the drum. Like, I don't get Shovel Knight press releases. When I redo the news every day, I don't see Shovel Knight news stories on IGN or GameSpot or probably on Twinfinite, but I don't see
it. I think that Shovel Knight, I love it. One of my favorite games.
Yeah.
I think that it did itself a disservice with the rollout plan of how it put its games out. Having everything, all the different releases that we got, the like Plague Knight and stuff, those are full campaigns. They might as well have been full games. And I feel like people, because of the way they were titled and the way that they are packaged, is kind of this, like, especially back then, it was the ongoing thing of you buy it, you get it forever. And now with the Treasure Trove stuff, it's like, it feels lesser than it actually is. Like, those were sequels.
Agreed.
Or at least the most Spectre Knight one was 100% a like sequel, but it felt and was marketed as, oh, just another part of Shovel Knight, right?
Yeah.
And I think with all this stuff, like, it's insane there's about to be a multiplayer battle mode. Like, that's awesome. But I don't think that that's going to have the same type of like excitement. And even with the King's Knight, I'm so stoked for that. More Shovel Knight. It's going to be a new full game, but it's still, I think, not going to hit on the level Shovel Knight did, or Shovel Knight 2 would, in title alone.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And, I think Yacht Club's doing just fine. I think they've done really, really well. And, of course, we don't want to be the schemey business people, but even removing the dollars and cents from it, it does come down to how you're covered in the games industry, where it can be that the hardcore Shovel Knight fans know all this and do all this, but like, and I know that the expansions have been great. I've known that you get everything for free if you bought the game. I've seen all that. I've heard all that. I know all that. That just doesn't resonate. DLC does not resonate the same way as there's a new game. Imagine if, I mean, at game, I don't, and we're not inside the boardroom at Yacht Club Games, and I'm sure it's just their cafeteria, but like, you know, of why they want it. I mean, obviously they made this promise, they're going to keep doing that, but even beyond that, why there isn't a more, hey everybody, new things happening, this is what it is, let's get out in front of it, let's go do this. I mean, they might be a success story to the point that they just want to do right by the fans and be, and that's great. Absolutely. That's awesome. Do that. But then to your question, Nathan, it's harder to spread the word about that. It's harder for to get people excited about that and get them out there.
Yeah.
Tim, it's time to squad up. But this one's a bit different. Ooh. Alex has made a new segment called Squad Up, Mario Make Me. Ooh. I have a suggestion for a new temporary segment on Kinda Funny Games Daily. For as long as Mario Maker 2 is the hot game, how about we spotlight one best friend every episode to help spread the word on their incredible creations? I call this segment, I don't care what you is, I already said it, Squad Up, Mario Make Me. Now I know what you're thinking. Oh, he's probably just suggesting this so that we'll read his creator ID on the air and he'll get those damn sweet, sweet likes that he so desperately craves. And to that I say, how dare you? On an unrelated note, I actually just realized that I've created a couple of cool Mario Maker levels. Hey, maybe I'd be perfect for the first episode of this new segment. I've created two levels so far, and combined they have over 14 likes. Over 14, huh? That could mean 15 likes, or it could mean 10 million. You'll have to look me up to find out for sure. My maker name is Lainey, L-A-I-N-E-E, my dog's name, and my creator ID is S-S-N. 8PFMQF. For those of you who don't know, you search creators by going to the course world, click the magnifying glass in the top right, and type in the ID.
Go get Alex some of them sweet, sweet likes that he may or may not want.
Alex, I appreciate this. Squad Up Mario Make Me is the hot topic for the foreseeable future. Feel free, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, to send in your Mario Maker levels or Mario Maker levels you think that you see that are cool. Well, you see them, you think they're cool.
Yeah.
You don't think you see them. You play them, they're probably cool. You know what I mean?
Did I see it?
I don't know. Did you see it, Kevin? Kevin, are you blacking out right now? Time for You're Wrong. This is where the people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames write in. kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
Today's one of those days that I feel like I fucked a lot up.
You didn't. A lot of editorializing going on. A lot of you. Here's this thing that's breaking. And it's like, that's not, I'm not going to break that. That's not like some crazy things happening. I'll get to it later. So I'm just giving Lord of Pwn one. Final Fantasy VII Remake has only been said to coming first to PlayStation 4/PlayStation. The rumors are that it'll come to PC later, much like Octopath Traveler did a year after coming to Switch, but has not come to other consoles.
So that's exactly what I said. I want to know about the Xbox. What about the Xbox?
Somebody else will correct that one. They'll year wrong each other, and they'll both contradict each other, and it'll go nowhere. Here it comes. While that happens, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you didn't know, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, let's talk about your hosts. Tuesday, it's going to be me and Andrea. Wednesday, it's going to be me and Gary Whitta. Thursday, there's no show. It's 4th of July. America's Blow independent, y'all. Up. And then Friday, there's no show because we're going to RTX in Austin. We hope you'll come out and hang out with us. Remember, you can come to our signing Friday. I forget if tickets are sold out, so I just keep promoting it. And then, of course, we have panels Saturday. Kinda Funny, We Need Your Sub, More Than Funhouse at 2 p.m. And Michael Jones and Greg Miller, Let's See What Happens at 5:30 p.m.
The entirety of Kinda Funny will be there.
It's true.
So
first time ever.
If you're on the fence about going, this is the year.
After
baby.
Years and years, weeks and weeks, months and months of begging Barrett, you are invited to things. Come to it. And he's like, no, I'm not going to come. You didn't buy me a ticket. I need a plane ticket. I need a hotel. He's finally coming. Everybody's coming. Once. I need a hotel.
Oh, that's him, man.
Oh, man. I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? He's like, oh, you didn't invite God. Me. I'm like, I clearly invited you. Yeah. I said, come to the show. And he's like, no, I'm not going. I'm like, is money for hats? Not for hotel rooms?